certainly appreciate the opportunity. It was we actually came down, our nephew is getting married, so we were down for that. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this, that how that some people say it's good. I told them yesterday we was dodging rain to try to get that wedding in. And I said, you know, they say it's good luck when it rains on your wedding day. I said, but do y'all know why it's good luck for it to rain? I said, I know there's a lot of superstitious things out there, but biblically speaking, Jonathan and David, it says their souls were knit together, tied in a knot. He loved his soul as his own. And I said, that's where the old adage of tying the knot comes from in marriage. And then if you tie a knot in a rope and that rope gets wet and then it dries, you're not getting that knot back out. You just give it up. I said, so that's why they say it's a good idea for it to rain, because you get that knot tied and it gets wet and then it dries. You ain't untied it. I said, so you jokers can't be backing up from here. But anyway, but what's interesting when you think about that, you think about this, and I love that which has come before this morning. I ask you to pray for us, because I'm going to tell you, I've got about, it's a buffalo burger this morning going on in my head. So be praying for us, the Lord to bless. You know, the more you chew on it, just the bigger it gets. And that's kind of the way it's squeezing out on sides everywhere. But anyway, when you think about what we have and you think about that, and marriage being the very first institution that God established, I had an older brother one time told me, very young, early on in my ministry, I was traveling quite a bit and working quite a bit and traveling quite a bit. And my boys actually had an imaginary daddy at one point in time. And there was an old brother told me, he said, Brother Luke, he said, what's the first institution God established? I said, well, it had to be the family, brother. It had to be marriage. He said, that's exactly right. He said, you better make sure you take care of that one while you're laboring in the kingdom that came afterward. And it put some things in perspective. So one of the things I want you to think about is that's the very first institution God established on the face of the planet, is that of marriage. And it is supposed to be a beautiful picture of the love that Christ has for his church. Christ being the groom, the church being the bride. I'm going to tell you, his bride is precious in his sight. Now, I don't know why we're precious. As I said, the beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. But for some reason or another this morning, brethren, the Lord has looked upon us with compassion. He's looked upon us with love. And we are precious in his sight. That boggles my mind, because I know what kind of individual I am. But he loves us. Over in Jeremiah, it says, my covenant they break, though I remain a faithful husband. I want you to know that we have a faithful husband this morning. He will never leave us or forsake us. And many times we forget about that, and we forget. And you know, he loves us in the good times and the bad times. He loves us when we're unlovable. Isn't that amazing? When we're enemies, he loved us. He loved us before we'd done anything to attain love. You know, have you ever had somebody do something very kind, a great kind gesture toward you? You ever had somebody do something like that? They just do something just out of the blue. They do something for you, and it's shocking, and it'll almost make you feel indebted, won't it? I mean, I would hope it would. When we consider for a moment what Brother Heath has brought before us this morning, what a great treasure that we have in earthen vessels this morning because of what the Lord has done for us. I'll tell you, it ought to make us feel indebted unto it. It ought to move us. I heard somebody say, oh, with the old church just hearing too much grace. I got news for you, brethren. If grace don't move you, you're hearing the wrong thing. Right? When you understand grace is unmerited favor that God has bestowed upon you when you were undeserving of it in the least, that he loved you when you were unlovable. He loves you when you're still unlovable. Isn't that amazing? I wish that everything just went away when the Lord called us by name and said, live. I wish that all this old flesh would just fall away and we would live exactly like we're supposed to, but we don't. And we got an adversary out there walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to rob you of what we have right now. You see, we are divine partakers. We're partakers of that divine nature right now. But old Satan wants to steal that from you. Now, I got news for you. I heard some preacher on the radio the other day talking about Satan was robbing people from God. If Satan is more powerful than the God they serve, they need to find another God. Because the God I serve has crushed his head. And I got news for you. This coming day, he's cast him to a pit. And he cannot steal a single one from the God I serve. Because the God I serve is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he pleased. God I serve is one that was offended. And he hath redeemed the offenders unto himself. He didn't leave that job to anybody else. You understand? You see, God entered a covenant with himself. Isn't that amazing? Before the foundation of the world, he set his affection on a people because they were precious. And now you hear about that today, and we rejoice in that gospel. Look what the scripture says in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter, Brother Heath quoted a little bit of this right here. It says, blessed be the God. This is the third verse. Let me get this. I'm going to back up, starting the first verse. Got to get this while we're here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Some people say it's elect according to the foreknowledge. They say, well, what it is God looked down from heaven and saw who's going to be good little boys and bad little girls and good little boys and bad little boys. And let me tell you, brethren, God did look down from heaven. But if you return in reference to Psalms, you're going to find this. He looked down from heaven upon the inhabitants of the earth to see if there was any that did do good, if there was any that sought after him. You know what he found? None. No, not one. I think that's 14 and 53, I think, is where that's at. And in 14, I think it says, they are altogether become filthy. They're altogether filthy. And in 53, it said they're altogether filthy and unprofitable. There's two different ways altogether is used. In the first one, it says they're altogether, two words. So when you say altogether, that meant all of us at one point in time together. Okay? In 53, it says all together, one word. And what that means is we as individuals are all together from head to toe, filthy and unprofitable. So the question begs then at that time, at what one point in time did all of us at one point in time become filthy and unprofitable? It would have been when Adam transgressed. Okay? And how bad was the transgression? Well, it all together got us. From head to toe, we're filthy and unprofitable. That's how bad it was. We're fallen, and we're sinners. Not only by nature, but by commission. Okay? By act. So this foreknowledge here, this is not God looking down and seeing you was going to do good or you was going to do bad. It was Him looking at you with compassion, with love. That's what that means. He loved you before the world ever was. And you know how I know that? In the 17th chapter of John, if you want to find the Lord's Prayer, that's where you'll find one of them. Not the model prayer. I'm talking about the Lord praying. In the 17th chapter of John, now if you'll read this, you'll find, he says it this way. He said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Go on down, you're reading this, and he says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The them under consideration is the same ones he was praying about in the beginning of that chapter. You know, he goes on, he doesn't leave us ignorant regarding that. If you keep reading, he says, for thou hast loved me. So to understand how he loves us, we've got to understand how he loved Christ. And Christ said, thou hast loved me from before the foundation of the world. So you know when God set his love on us? Before the foundation of the world. That's what's under consideration right here when he says the foreknowledge of God. He set his affection on us before we ever were. And that is hard for our little finite minds to comprehend because we live in a linear aspect of time. But God does not live and exist bound by time in that he is the beginning and the end and everything in between all at the same time. You understand? We are very linear and time-based. There's coming a day we won't be because there's going to be a day that'll never end. That's going to be an awesome day. What a day that'll be. Amen. Yay, and come on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. A living hope. Ought not be no long-faced, sad Sally's walking around here. It's a living hope we have. We ought to be rejoicing in what Jesus Christ has done for us. To an inheritance incorruptible. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because this ain't what I want to get to. I'm going to skip on. But incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I want you to know there's nothing that has been, ever will be, or something hidden in the mix that's going to mess up what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Incorruptible. There's nothing going to come along that's going to corrupt it later on. Undefiled. There's no hidden defect in it that's going to cause it to waste in some future date. I was preaching on that one time up in Arkansas, and I said, won't be no fuzz on the peaches. You know, fuzzy figs. And the old brother, one of them boys from Texas, I forget, David. I don't understand that fuzzy pig. All right, so have you ever just got down? I told him this. I said, you ever got down and you got a hot pan of biscuits, and you went to the refrigerator, and there was no figs left. And you go in there to the cabinet, and you look in, and you find one jar of figs. And something bad must have happened in the canning process because you didn't get it sterilized just right. Because when you pop that jar open, that lid didn't quite, when it come off in there. And you looked over in that jar, and there was fuzz on top of the figs. You see, something defiled the figs. Now, depending on what kind of bind you're in, you might have done like, that's the last jar. You might just scrape the fuzz off and go on. That's a personal decision you're going to have to make. But the fact of the matter is, what we have in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the figs being fuzzy. Because there's nothing in there that's going to defile what we have in Jesus Christ. You see, what we have is not only placed within us, and He's not only cleaned us up, just like you would sterilize jars, but I'm going to tell you, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. That's glorious. And what we have is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. It's not going to run out. And I'm going to tell you what we have right now in the kingdom is not going to run out. Sometimes I think that we're scared it's going to run out. Oh, let's don't invite nobody. They might get what I'm supposed to be getting. Let me tell you something, brethren. You know what the Lord said over in Malachi? He says, you try me. You try me. And you see if I don't pour out a blessing you cannot consume. Isn't that amazing? I've spent my whole life drinking from the saucer in the Lord's kingdom. Y'all know what that means, don't you? That's when your cup overfloweth. And it is overflowed into the saucer and you drink from the saucer. I tell you, I've been drinking from the saucer my whole life in the kingdom of God. Because He has blessed us immensely with this beautiful treasure that we have. You ever been sitting in the midst of the treasure and everybody around you is feasting and you're starving to death? You know that can happen. It even happens for preachers. One time I was at a meeting and there's a brother preaching and I was sitting there like, man, that's about the driest husk I've ever heard in my life. I was starving to death. My dear brother Daniel was sitting right beside me and he was just weeping. Tears were flowing down his face. He said, that's the best thing I've ever heard. I knew I was in a bad way. Brother Daniel was rejoicing and I was sitting there starving to death on the same pew. We was drinking from the same well. And the water was sweet to him and it was bitter to me. You ever had times like that in your life, brother? It's not because the Lord's left you. It's because sometimes we get to wandering away from the Lord. And what's amazing is we can be sitting in His house and our hearts still be far from Him. That's why when we come together, we need to be focused. We had to have our affection set on things. We need to come together in unity and peace. And as Brother Heath was saying, there's things that we have in this glorious kingdom that unite us and bind us together. I'm going to tell you, I've said this before, I'll say it the rest of my life. Principle always unites a people, and preference always divides a people. Preference has wreaked havoc on the church of God because we have placed ourselves above what God has given unto us. That's where preference shows, you see. But when we truly approach it as we should, we are like Christ. We have the same mind that He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We're not left ignorant regarding that. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, this is the whole reason that I'm here. I came down from heaven not to do my own will. I don't care about my preference. I don't care about what I want to do. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is my Father's will. He come for the purpose of executing the will of His Father. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when we gather together, when we walk in this old world, when we set those examples, we need to be striving to achieve the will of just one, not ours. And especially when we come together for worship. We ought to be interested in what He would have us to do, not what we... Principle is going to bring us together. Now, it goes on here. Let me press on. This buffalo burger, you're going to get what I can get between now and then. But anyway. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't help read that and think about old Brother Roger Lewis when I think about that text right there. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He said the prophets were looking diligently for what this is that you have. In what? The kingdom. Here's the treasure. Here's the treasure. He said the prophets wrote about it, but they didn't understand it. They searched diligently for it, didn't know where it was, though they wrote it. And now you have it. You've got it. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them and did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Don't you wish that you could have been there that day when those brethren was walking with the Lord? They was walking with their head all hung down. The Lord's walking with them. They don't even know the Lord's walking with them. They sitting there just long in the mouth and goes, you know why? They crucified the Lord. And they're all down and out. And the Lord's walking with them. He asked them why their countenance is like it is. And they said, where you been? Have you not heard what happened? They crucified the Lord of glory. And as He's walking with them, He goes back, and from Moses He begins to expound of all the places in Scripture that was referencing Him and why He must have died and must needs to have died and suffered the things He suffered for our sake. Don't you wish you could have been there that day? Whoo, son. All them things we think we get glimpses of, the Lord just expounded plainly to us that day. And them old brethren, they testified it. They said, oh, how our hearts did burn within us while He yet spake to us. There's times we get to experience that. Unto whom it was revealed. Now look at this. That not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things, now look at this, which things the angels desire to look into. Now for just a moment, I want to show you just a glimpse of this treasure. The angels desire to look into what we have. The gospel being proclaimed. There's probably angels gathered right now wondering what in the world's going on. They're looking into. But I'm going to tell you, there was another time there were some angels gathered. When Jesus Christ hung suspended between the heaven and the earth, and don't you know that their minds were boggled? They know exactly who this is. And they know He has the authority. All He had to do was speak it, and they would flood Him. And they would lay waste to this entire creation at the command of Jesus Christ. Yet with great authority and power, He hung suspended there. Oh, He could have called a legion of angels down. It didn't take but one wipe out a whole bunch of folks in a hurry. I got a count in Scripture. Imagine if He brought a whole legion in. Matter of fact, when the Lord spake, those men fell back as dead men. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ could have closed her up. But the angels witnessed this. That the Lord of glory died. The angels can't comprehend what is going on. And now this gospel is proclaimed, and the gospel proclamation is He died for you. And the angels' minds are still boggled why Jesus Christ would die for such a people who are so unruly and such sinners, and they continue to disregard the will of their Father in their life. You see, the angels desire to look into this. You know, one of the things that makes something valuable is who all is interested in it. Right? I'm going to tell you, God's interested in it. The angels are interested in it. And if we don't perk up and pay attention to it and realize we ought to be interested in it, we're going to miss out on a great treasure and a great blessing while we live here. I'm thankful, brethren, that I didn't even get to near about where I wanted to get, but what I want you to understand is what we have, the angels desire to look into. The Lord took such great care in securing it for us that He sent His only begotten Son to establish it. And now we have this kingdom that we can be partakers of this heavenly, divine nature while we live here in this world. And from time to time we get so distracted because the same one that started the warfare in the beginning is still warring with us today. Oh, Satan himself. Now there's coming a day. There's coming a day that rascal's going to be destroyed for all of eternity. I know that's a hard thing to comprehend, but it's exactly, he's going to be destroyed for all of eternity. And we're going to rejoice for all of eternity. Sometimes you've got to realize what you've been delivered from and what you've been delivered to realize just what a blessing it is. Brethren, I want you to know we've been delivered from utter despair to absolute peace. I can't comprehend what it's going to be like. But I know what the Bible says, do. It says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That ought to be our prayer. And until that time, when we look around, and what I really want to get to is Luke chapter 8 and go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, but we didn't get there. But the fact of the matter is, I want to share this with you. Because Brother Heath gave us the admonition that we needed to repent. When we look around, it's real easy to get discouraged with what's going on because we forget just how precious it is. It's kind of like first when you get a new truck, you know, oh, can't get a scratch on it, got to wash it every other day. Then it don't take long. It's just a truck. And it's going to rain eventually and it'll get washed. I mean, you know, that's the way we are. That's our nature, right? Sometimes we lose sight of just how precious this kingdom is and what a treasure it is. And we begin to take it for granted. And then sometimes there's some hard, perilous times come along and we realize that the Lord's not just a spare tire, but He's our companion. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's one that sticketh closer than a brother. We need to remember that before the hard times come. And y'all go read 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if I send pestilence, if I send a drought, if I withhold rain, He says this, if my people, I got news for you, brethren. That message ain't to nobody else other than heirs of the Most High. But we spend our time worried about what everybody else is doing. Don't be worried about what everybody else is doing. He's worried about what you're doing right here. The angels are worried about what you're doing right here. They're interesting. They're looking into it. They want to see what's happening. The Lord Himself is interested about what you're doing right here. You know why? He says, in the midst of the church, he'll sing praises. He'll declare the Father's name unto the brethren. In the midst of the congregation, will I sing praises? I'm going to tell you, the Lord's interested in what we have right here. You know, he died to secure it for us. You ever had somebody do something really good for you? You kind of felt indebted to him? I'm going to tell you, brethren, he done something for you you could never do for yourself. Nobody else on the planet could do it for you. It took only him. How would we take that for granted? How can we take that for granted? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their, repent, and pray. I'm going to tell you what, if we work on them things right there the rest of our life, we'll be busy. And don't lose distraction, because it ain't to nobody else. It's to you, because you're precious in the sight of the Lord. And He loves you and cares for you. May the Lord bless us to be found repenting, humbling ourselves under His mighty hand that He might exalt us in due time, and praying to the Most High who hears our cries. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.